ever knew how much he made. Ovitz was actually earning about $20 million a year, he later testified. Nor did they find out how much Ovitz was going to be paid had he made a deal to go to Universal, other than a vague idea that it amounted to between $250 million and $350 million. Although Disney's corporate bylaws require that a board of directors hire the president, neither the compensation committee nor the full Disney board reviewed or approved the agreement that weekend. Sidney Poitier, one of the four members of the compensation committee, was awakened in the middle of the night on his yacht off the coast of Sardinia by Russell, who called to tell him Ovitz was being hired. Later, Russell couldn't recall whether he even mentioned any numbers. Ignacio Lozano, the other committee member, wasn't contacted until the following Monday. On Saturday night, Eisner hosted a dinner for Ovitz and Judy to bring them together with Sid Bass, who was also at his house in Aspen. Eisner was eager to win Bass's approval, since Bass was still implacably opposed to hiring Ovitz as president. And it was highly unusual for Eisner to go against his wishes. Specifically, Bass was determined to emphasize the importance of integrity, given his reservations about Ovitz's veracity. Ovitz realized that this was an audition, and at least in his view, he and Bass seemed to hit it off. Ovitz looked forward to developing a closer relationship with Disney's biggest shareholder. He stressed the opportunities in the rapidly evolving communications technology, a field Bass was investing heavily in, and also the opportunities for Disney to expand its international presence and revenues. Curiously, given Bass's concerns, neither Ovitz nor Eisner recalled the subject of ethics even being mentioned. The mood was ebullient at the dinner, with Jane in particular expressing her appreciation to Ovitz and Judy that Ovitz would be helping to take the burden off her husband. At 1:30 p.m. the next day, after a final conference call with the lawyers and negotiators, Ovitz asked if he could have 10 more minutes to think about it. He still didn't quite understand how the partnership Eisner kept talking about was going to work, nor was he blind to Eisner's faults. He'd been intimately involved with the Katzenberg saga. He'd listened to Eisner criticize Frank Wells. He'd seen Eisner turn against Larry Gordon, against Diller. But Ovitz thought he was different. He called Eisner back. "Judy and I have talked it through," he said. "I'm putting myself in your hands." As soon as Eisner had hung up the phone, he called Tony Schwartz. "I think I just made the biggest mistake of my career," Eisner said. "Can I take it back?" "If you can, do it," Schwartz replied. 9. Disney's press release to announce Ovitz's appointment as president was scheduled for Monday morning, August 14, 1995. The day before, Joe Roth flew to Aspen from his vacation on Martha's Vineyard and then flew with Ovitz on the Disney plane back to Los Angeles. Eisner wanted them to spend some time together, hoping that Roth would become more comfortable with the new arrangement in which he would be reporting to Ovitz. Roth was cool to Ovitz's appointment. He, too, had considered himself a contender for the job and didn't like the idea of reporting to his former agent, someone who had worked for him. He warned Eisner that their styles were different, that Ovitz was a packager, while Roth preferred to develop material.